translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Purport: The kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. No one can go see it. In this material world also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about that place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planets within the universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky, and see for themselves the spiritual planets Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions of the Vedas and Puranas. In the material world, there are three modes of material qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the spiritual world, there is no trace of the modes of passion and ignorance. There is only the mode of goodness, which is uncontaminated by any tinge of ignorance or passion. In the material world, even if a person is completely in goodness, he is sometimes subjected to be polluted by tinges of the modes of ignorance and passion. But in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual sky, only the mode of goodness in its pure form exists. The Lord and His devotees reside in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are of the same transcendental quality, namely Shuddha Sattva, the mode of pure goodness. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas towards the kingdom of God, the Lord Himself helps His devotees. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Parabatanyavrata sarasa chakravaka datyuha shukka tittiri barhinamba kolahalam viramate chiramatramuchai bringadipe harikatham eva gayamane. In the following verses, this description comes that the defining quality of the spiritual world, which separates it from the material world, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, that defining quality which separates material world from the spiritual world is the absence of envy. And the description of the various birds is given: Parabatanyavrata Sarasa Chakravaka Datyuha Shukka Tittiri Barihinam. Peacocks, cuckoos, various birds, description is there. Kola halam viramati. They are all making various sounds. Each one has been endowed with a specific quality, specific identity, characteristic. And they are all expressing themselves accordingly. But kola halam viramate chiramatram uchai bringadipe. As soon as the bumblebee starts glorifying Krishna, so all of those other birds, their paradigm for decision making, their center of their identity is, what should I think, speak, or do by which Krishna will be pleased the most? And therefore, this identity separates the resident of the spiritual world from the resident of the material world, where the center of the universe is one's own personal ego. And therefore, as soon as these birds hear that, oh, the cuckoo can also sing, and there are these other birds, they can also sing, but when they see that compared to all of our singing, the bumblebee, that song of the bee, the mood with which the bee is singing, it is pleasing Krishna the most. So all of these other birds step back and they go into a suspended silence. Kolahalam viramate. Kolahalam means each one is expressing loudly. Each one is supremely confident about their given talent, their ability, and they feel a sense of purpose and worth in expressing that, contributing that. But as soon as they see that, oh, the ultimate purpose of all of our singing and speaking and expression is how can Krishna be pleased the most? Okay, who is doing that the most? The bumblebee. Kolahalam, immediately all of their music becomes viramate. They become quiet. Chiramatramuchaihi bringadipe harikatham eva gayamane. Because they all accept, agree that no one is able to glorify and please Krishna the way the bee is able to do. Bringadipe harikatham eva gayamane. The way he is able to glorify, we are not able to glorify. So he gets the priority. Mandara kunda kurabot pola champakarana punnaga naga bakulam buja parijata gandhirchite tulasika bharanena tasya yasmin tapo sumanaso bahumanayanti. And then immediately in the next verse, the consciousness of all the flowers in Vaikuntha is described. The different types of flowers is described, which is all colorful, attractive, beautiful, you know, fragrant. Each one has its unique color, unique shape, unique fragrance. All super excellent, extremely talented, extremely powerful, extremely influential. But all of them, Mandara, Kunda, Kurabha, Utpala, Champa, Punnaga, Naga, Bakula, Ambuja, Lotus, Parijata, all of these flowers, each one is super excellently endowed with the qualities of fragrance, of beauty, of color. Gandhir chite, they're all extremely fragrant. But tulasika abharanena tasya, when they see that Lord Vishnu is prioritizing the services of tulasi, that he is loving the seva being done by Tulasi the most, and Tulasi's seva has been accepted and pleasing to Krishna the most. Tulasika abharanena tasya yasmin tapo sumanaso bahumanayanti. They all accept the tapasya done by Tulasi and they acknowledge that somehow the tapasya done by Tulasi, the austerities done by Tulasi to please Krishna, because every devotee is performing austerities to please Krishna. But the test comes when we see that someone's austerity to please Krishna has been acknowledged and accepted and absorbed by Krishna more than mine. That is when our original paradigm is tested, whether I am continuing to perform my service to please Krishna, or along with that there is a mixture of a desire to also attract attention to oneself. So therefore, yasmin tapo, the tapasya of Tulasi, bahumanayanti, they all accept as, you know, the best. And therefore they feel Tulasi Tapasya has been accepted by Krishna, and Krishna, you know, in spite of all of our efforts and all of our colors and all of our fragrances, and you can see each one has its own unique fragrance, each one has its own color, but they don't feel that in the course of our attempting to serve and please Krishna, that if Krishna's lotus feet is adorned with Tulasi, it is Tulasi's success and our failure. So that kind of a thought process does not come. Neither do the flowers have a meeting to figure out what should we do so that we can get Tulsi off his lotus feet. For eternity, will Tulasi always be on his lotus feet? Can there be a change? Can there be, you know, a different way of looking at it? Yasmin tapo sumanaso bahumanayanti. So therefore, Krishna in the spiritual world is creating such an ecosystem where everybody in their own individual way can be fully satisfied in serving Krishna without the pinprick, without the deep, you know, disturbing pain which exists in the material world of a feeling of dissatisfaction and lack of joy when you see someone doing better than us. So therefore, that is the characteristic feature of the spiritual world, where the opportunity to serve exists for all. And when one sees someone excelling in devotional service in terms of their service being accepted more by Krishna than ours, the exact opposite emotion of the material world, which is a feeling of frustration and questioning and creation of an identity crisis, the exact opposite happens in the spiritual world when one experiences greater and greater joy and pleasure just by seeing that. Yasmin tapo sumanaso bahumanayanti. And they all wholeheartedly, joyfully accept that Tulasi has been accepted by Krishna. Like that. So this is the characteristic, you know, difference, the lack of envy, the lack of competitive spirit, the lack of feeling successful only when one feels I am getting privileges and opportunities which is better than others. No. So therefore, when the Samudra Manthan Leela is going on and then the nectar comes up, so the demigods, demons, both are fighting. And then when Dhanvantariji comes with that pot, then the demons, they snatch it from Dhanvantari and then they are all fighting with each other. So, that verse describes that Natarshe tarsha chetasam aham purvam natvam iti prabhu. So when they are fighting about who will have the nectar first, the entire conflict is, I will have the nectar first, aham purvam, I will have it first, I will have it first. But more importantly is the second line, natvam, natvam, not you, not you, not you. So that is the material world. Even when the most astonishing, powerful beverage is right in the hands of the demigods and the demons, which is the nectar, the amrita. Even in contact with that amrita in their hand, the amrita kalasha is in their hand, but the visha, the poison of competitiveness, envy, does not go away even by embracing that nectar. Aham purvam, natvam, natvam. And then in the similar context, when Krishna is going to the forest to see the beauty of the forest, and Krishna and Balram are standing at a distance looking at the beauty of the forest, seeing the beautiful birds flying and seeing the flowers, seeing the greenery, and seeing how all the beautiful plants and trees of Vrindavan are offering them seva. So when Krishna is right in the middle of that lush forest of Braj, all the cowherd boys, they all decide, let us have a race of who will go and catch Krishna first. Yadi duram gate Krishna vana shobhe kshanayatam. When Krishna goes to see the shobha or the beauty of the one of the forest, vana shobha ikshanayatam, to see that beauty. Yadi duram gate Krishna, Krishna goes at a distance. He is separated from the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys are left behind. Krishna and Balram are far ahead. Yadi duram gate Krishna vana shobhe kshanayatam aham purvam iti samsprishya remire. So the same two words come in Vrindavan also, where each cowherd boy is saying, I will go and touch Krishna first. I will go and touch Krishna first. Aham purvam iti samsprishya remire. They are enjoying that competition of running to go and compete. Who will touch Krishna first? Samsprishya means to touch. So then one may think, oh, the same principle, aham purvam, me first, the demigods and demons, when they were trying to get the, you know, nectar, that was also the same, I will be first, I will be first. Here also the same, I will be first, I will be first. So what's the difference between the demigods going for the nectar and the cowherd boys going for Krishna? So Srila Jiva Goswami, Chakravarti Pad, other acharyas, they give the inner understanding that the words are same. When the demigods and demons got the nectar, they said, aham purvam, me first, but natvam, natvam, not you. I will get the nectar, not you. And when the cowherd boys are running to touch Krishna, they are also saying, I will go first, aham purvam, but within the cowherd boy's heart, each cowherd boy is inspired by the intention that if I run fast and I try my best to outdo the other cowherd boys to touch Krishna first, by seeing me run fast, my other cowherd boyfriend will be inspired to run faster than me. So that ultimately, if he touches Krishna first, Krishna will be pleased. So let me run fast so that seeing me run fast, it inspires the best and the highest potential within my friend. So that's how the spiritual world is different than the material world, where no one is disallowed from doing their best. So therefore, try your best is a mantra which is, you know, common in the material world. But in the material world, try your best so that the others are not as best. In the spiritual world, try your best so that the others get inspired to do better than you and please Krishna. So therefore, that's the context of the spiritual world. The descriptions are there, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the spiritual world. But the defining principle is lack of envy. And that envy is the one which holds the conditioned soul back in the material world for a long period of time. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport that the kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. Yatra cha adya puman aste bhagavan shabda gochara. So, the spiritual world can only be understood through shabda. शब्द गोचर ओनली थ्रू हियरिंग, अदरवाइज इट इज जस्ट नॉट पॉसिबल. देयरफॉर व्हेन श्रीला प्रभुपाद वॉज यू नो स्पीकिंग ऑन द भगवद गीता इन द अर्ली डेज, राइट, न तद भाषयते सूर्यो न शशांको न पावक. सो देर इज द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड विच डज नॉट हैव लाइट, विच डज रिक्वायर एनी एक्सटर्नल लाइट और इलेक्ट्रिसिटी एक्सेट्रा एक्सेट्रा. एंड दिस वॉज द फर्स्ट टाइम ही वॉज ब्रिंगिंग दिस कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ वैकुंठ. एंड देर वॉज ऑल लाइक 1965-66 लॉट ऑफ हिप्पीज वर सिटिंग देयर एंड मेनी ऑफ देम दे वुड कम फॉर द क्लासेस नॉट इन अ सोबर स्टेट. They would be high on drugs. So suddenly, one of the hippies sitting in the audience, at the end of the class, he asked Srila Prabhupada, that, Swami, you're talking about Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha? What is this Vaikuntha? What is this Vaikuntha you're talking about? And Srila Prabhupada looked at this hippie and he was high on drugs and he was wondering, how I'm going to explain to such a person who's like not even in a sober state. So then Prabhupada, out of his deep compassion, thought for a few seconds, and then Prabhupada looked at him and he said, Vaikuntha, it is like an ocean of LSD. And immediately this hippie's eyes popped up. And he looked at Prabhupada, he said, I want to go to Vaikuntha. So Srila Prabhupada, he was so compassionate that he would look at the point of reference and knew that a person can only try to go and attempt Krishna consciousness when they feel there is some relevance and there is some hope. And Srila Prabhupada, through his association, gradually created this kind of a desire within a civilization outside of India, across the world, where description of Vaikuntha, description of Goloka, all of that became accepted within cultures which were never exposed to Sanatan Dharma. It has never happened in the past before. It was historic. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vi Ni Vritta the kama. So kama word is there, then vritta means your employment, engagement. Nivritta means when you are sacked from your employment, or you leave your employment, or you retire. So retirement is called nivritta. Nivritta means you are separated from your means of engagement, employment. And you know, when someone does not on their own retire, you have to make them to retire. You have to kind of tell them that you are no longer eligible to be employed. You have to sack them. So that word is vi, which is added to nivritta. Nivritta means retirement in its regular course. So kama, lust, is not an entity which will retire on its own. That, oh, this is the retirement age and kama suddenly flies out. No. So therefore the kama or the lust has to be vinivritta, specifically made to retire. That means one has to make efforts to be purified. And that process, as described, is Srinivatam Swakatham Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti. And then those negative things from the heart are removed. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada focused with his limited time he had between the age of 70 to 80. He realized that the most important contribution I have to make is to give as much of profuse literatures to the world as possible, because there lies the key to the spiritual world. Shabda Gochara. So Srila Prabhupada also, in the limited time, could have spent more time opening temples with infrastructure, with other kinds of problem solving. But he prioritized Shabda Gochara. That unless the Shabda is there, there is no entry to the spiritual world. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada compiled detailed commentaries to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, this is a very, very important principle that Srila Prabhupada envisaged, that by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by exchanging the Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees who are sadhakas would experience, you know, many effects, many transformations within their heart. What are those? First is, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees would experience the power and the importance of depending on satsanga. Satsangat mukta duhusango hatum na utsahate budhaha kirtyamano yasho yasya sakrit akarnya rochanam. Satsang is there, but unless you hear and study the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will not see the importance of this satsanga. And therefore, it begins with Maharaj Parikshit experiencing the shock of hearing his death pronouncement. And when he sees Srila Shukadev Goswami, he is not angry or upset. Why this has happened to me? In fact, he is able to face the greatest calamity, death, with understanding that the pain at the time and moment of death will be so intense that unless I am able to practice remembering Krishna during calamities in life, I cannot aspire to remember Krishna at the pain during death. So the pain which is given to us in life is nothing but a practice session to remember Krishna, so that we can finally remember him during the pain at the moment of death. So he looks at Shukadeva Goswami, who has arrived here, and he says, Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadyo shudhyanti vaigrihaha kim punardarshana sparsha padashauchasanadibhi. My greatest, at this moment, I have a choice. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. Why Srila Prabhupada focused on giving the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhaktivedanta purports? Because Srila Prabhupada realized that spirituality does not guarantee the disappearance of problems. Problems will always remain. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada did not focus on problem solving. Problem will come, no matter what. But Srila Prabhupada focused on the solution, which was the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was perspective towards the problem. And therefore, what the satsang does is, the satsang does not make the problem disappear, but the satsang makes the problem tolerable by giving the perspective. And therefore, Parikshit is saying, you have arrived, Shukadeva Goswami. You will give me the perspective by which I can deal with this situation. What perspective does? That in the helpless condition, the right perspective gives you hope and prevents you from becoming hopeless. And therefore, Parikshit says, Tascaiva me aghasya parabareshu vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshanam निर्वेदमूलो द्विजचापरूपो यत्र प्रसक्तो भयमाशुधत्ते. I am experiencing this calamity because of my past some misdeed. He gets that perspective. I am so attached to my material life, I will never give up on my own. Therefore, Krishna has come through this shrapa, through this curse, and like a sword, cutting off my attachment. Yatra prasakto bhayam ashudhatte. Like that. And therefore, this is the first principle, that in the association, we get the right perspective. Sarvabhauma upadeshe chadi rajavesh, ekale vaishnavaveshe kurila pravesh. Pratapadra Maharaj is again and again snubbed by Lord Chaitanya. He doesn't give him his association. He gives mercy to everybody except him. So when one is isolated, one of the worst emotions to experience is rejection. Rejection can be the most traumatic of all experiences. Even perception of rejection can be devastating. And here is Lord Chaitanya openly ostracizing, rejecting Pratapadra Maharaj again and again. But he is tolerating that based on his faith in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's words. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, this is the right moment. Lord Chaitanya has entered Jagannath Vallabh Garden. You massage his feet and you chant the Gopi Gita. So when he starts chanting, the Lord Chaitanya gets up and embraces him. And Lord says, Prabhu kahe ke tumi korila morahit, achambite asi piyao Krishna lilamrit. Who are you? And why you are doing such a great munificent seva for me? So Kaviraj Goswami is saying that so long Lord Chaitanya was rejecting, and now suddenly he is accepting. Purva seva dekhi tare kripa upajila, anusandhan kripa, kripa prasada korila. So the way the Lord bestows his mercy is, he is also the supreme personality of unpredictability, uncertainty. You can never, bring him to a contract that this is what I'll do and this is what you do. No. So Prataputra Maharaj was a Kshatriya, expert administrator, expert warrior. So therefore administration and the art of war was his expertise. And many times we feel we will please Krishna through our area of expertise. But here Lord Chaitanya is revealing, and Kaviraj Goswami is saying, that Maharaj Prataprudra did not please Lord Chaitanya through his administration skills. He did not please him through his ability to manage such a huge kingdom. But he actually pleased Lord Chaitanya by taking a broom and sweeping in front of Jagannath. A skill he never practiced, and a service which he never remembered also. So many times we may be quite obsessed with how I am serving here, how I am serving there, how I am doing this, how I am doing that, thinking that this is what Krishna may be noticing. But Krishna may notice something which we will not even notice ourselves, because he looks at the mood and not the method. And the mood with which Prataputra Maharaj was serving was, I am a servant of Lord Jagannath. So therefore, purva seva dekhi tare kripa upajila. That moment Lord Chaitanya noted, oh, he is serving so humbly as a sweeper. I will give mercy. So therefore, this is the beautiful point about how in the association of devotees, we get the hope to continue serving. Then the second thing which the Srimad Bhagavatam reveals is, it gives us taste to continue practicing the process. Because we cannot do anything unless, as the soul is anandamayo abhyasat, the soul is pleasure seeking. unless we see some pleasure in the practice of process, even in sadhana stage, we cannot continue. So Maharaj Parikshit says, Naishate dussaha krunman yaktodam apibadate pibantam tonmukham bhojam chutam harikathamritam. Maharaj Parikshit is saying that actually 3.5 days have passed, no sleep, no water, but I'm just completely absorbed in the joy of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And please continue speaking this more and more, because I'm experiencing this taste of the nectar coming from your lips. So that is a very important principle. Shrunashva avahito rajan api guhyam vadamite bruyuh snigdhasya shishyasya gurabo guhyam apyuta. And this taste is revealed to someone who continues serving in the association with humility, with patience, and with tolerance. And therefore, here, when Thakur Haridas is tempted by the prostitute, he just gives her the option to sit near Tulasi and continue hearing his chanting. Tulasi ratang ke vaishya namaskar kori dware vashi nama shuni bole hori hori. Thakur Haridas did not give a seminar on holy name. He did not give description about the dangers of sense gratification. He didn't speak any philosophy. He did not even tell her, you chant. Thakur Haridas was only chanting and doing his bhajan. But the purity, the intensity of his bhajan, of his intention, was so strong, so powerful. It was the impact of his pure intention which influenced the prostitute. Nirvikara Haridasa Gambhira Ashay Bolite Lagila Tare Hoya Sadai. So Thakur Haridas's intention to serve was nirvikar. You could not mix it. You could not convert the milk into yogurt. It could not be converted. Nirvikar. Vikar means conversion. So nothing from outside could convert Thakur Haridas's desire to serve into a desire to enjoy. So many times people feel absorption in chanting, attentive chanting, means we have to go into a yogic trance. No. Actually, a bhakta, when he is trying to be more attentive in chanting, he becomes more concerned about his purity in intention. Purity in intention. And therefore, the intention should be, I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. How pure is that prayer of mine? And therefore, intensity in sadhana, consistency in seva, and sensitivity in dealing with the sevaks. These three actually are the pillars which help us progress in Krishna consciousness. And this is very, very important principle described here. So by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we realize the power of association, we get taste for the practice of the process. And thirdly, we actually are able to engage in seva, understand the power of seva, the importance of seva, why seva is so important. So when Vibhishana is standing in front of Lord, he has just come with his four associates, and these four associates are the four aspects of Sharanagati. Akinchanatvam, I have nothing, my dear Lord. Ananyagatitvam, I have nowhere else to go, my dear Lord. Saralta, you are so simple, you will accept anybody. Shakti, you are so powerful, you don't need somebody's background before you decide to accept. So with these four ministers, when he approached Lord, he says, Sarvaloka Sharanyaya You give shelter to the entire universe. Raghavaya Mahatmane, you are a magnanimous personality of the Raghukul. Nivedayata Mam Kshipram Vibhishanam Upasthitam. Vibhishan is standing here with a plea. Please accept my surrender quickly. So the word used is Kshipram. Why does he use the word Kshipram, quickly? So the Acharyas say, the opportunity to serve in the association has been received by us after millions of lifetimes of enjoyment. And it's a very, very small window in the journey of the soul. And therefore, because the amount of time spent in sense gratification is millions of times larger than the amount of time we have just started spending in seva, we should not take this time spent in seva for granted. Knowing that the other history, the sanskar, the memory of sense gratification is massively more than just like a few seconds. In compared to that, it's like a few seconds, few moments we have begun serving. So he says, Kshipram, quickly accept me, otherwise I will again go back to that. Go back to sense gratification. So there was this brahmachari in Boston temple. And, you know, in the initial days, temple commanders used to be a little heavy. They would wake up people in the morning in rough ways, you know, pull the sleeping bag up so that the person gets on the head. And all kinds of stuff was going on. So this brahmachari felt really that, you know, I can't stay in this such kind of dealing. I'm leaving. So he packed up his bag and everything. And then he took his, you know, tape recorder. Said, before going, I'll just take a quick shower. And while taking the shower, I'll listen to this tape. And then all my bag is packed, I'll go. So he put on the tape. He was taking a shower. And Prabhupada's lectures in Mumbai, Juhu, on teachings of Queen Kunti. And Prabhupada made a statement. He said, you know, Krishna has Maya as his associate, as his servant. Why does Krishna have Maya? Maya is also Krishna's servant, Prabhupada says. Maya is also Krishna's servant, and Krishna sends Maya to test the sincerity of our service. Because Maya's service is to help Krishna understand whether this sadhaka has come to serve me or disturb me. Whether this person has come to serve me or disturb me, therefore Krishna has Maya. So Maya is also Krishna's servant. And when this devotee, who was already planned to leave, he heard this. He got out, you know, then he unpacked the bag and put his bag back and said, okay, let me give another try. Because maybe through this temple commander or these other devotees were, I feel they are mistreating me. But they are sent by Maya to test whether I'm actually aspiring to serve Krishna or disturb Krishna. So he decided to give another chance just based on hearing that two lines of Krishna Katha from Srila Prabhupada. And who was this brahmachari later? His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. So this is the power of a few words. Sometimes devotees say, I don't get time to read, I don't get time to hear. Oh, there is too much of service, I cannot. Even two lines, if you read, it can be lifesaver. Right? Sometimes devotees tell me, I think I will start reading when I have 6 hours available in my schedule. When that day comes, I will open the Bhagavatam. When that day will come, never. I went to somebody's house, they hosted me at night. In the morning, they said, give a class. I said, okay, give me the 6th canto. And they were opening the Bhagavatam set right in front of me from the plastic cover, everything. I said, my God, you're opening for the first time? How long you have this Bhagavatam? Said, we don't even remember how long. I said, you never opened it? said, we were waiting for you only. So therefore, the word Prabhupada uses, you know, in response to this, Shabda Gochara, Puman Aste, Bhagavan Shabda Gochara. You can only understand the spiritual world through Shabda. And therefore, the founder Acharya, knowing fully well that now he is already 70 when he is beginning the ISKCON movement, and he went on till 1977 when he was almost 81, 82. In that period, he prioritized giving the Bhaktivedanta purports. 55 to 65, only one canto published. 65 to 77, 9 cantos further, at least 10th canto, 13th chapter, complete Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book, you name it. That is how Srila Prabhupada realized the priority. And therefore Prabhupada said, books are the basis. And therefore the books need to be our companions as true north, to set the true north, the compass. This is the direction in which I should be going. So therefore, you know, this particular verse is very, very important, especially this word, Shabda Gochara. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Such a wonderful verse, as well as the explanation about Kingdom of the God, and most importantly, being non-envious. So, one quick question, Prabhu. Like, as you explained, by listening to all these details of Kingdom of God, and most importantly, not being envious, one would have desire to sort of, I want to go back. I mean, we should have probably desire to go back home, back to Godhead, and we should serve in that mood, as you explained, like Krishna's friends were trying to catch him, so we can try and catch to go to Golok Vrindavan, and by seeing that others can also get inspired and try even harder. So that's one thought of process, or like as you explained. But along with that, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find like in Maharaj Amrish, for example, devotee should be desireless, or one should not think like I need to go to hellish planet or stay here or go to the heavenly planet as well. So we should not have desires when we are serving Krishna, for example. So then is it okay to have this desire, or I mean, if we are too attached to just going back to Godhead, then are we really understand? I mean, which thought process and how to understand this?
See, problem? When you're driving, you have your eyes on the GPS also, and on the road in front also. The road in the front does not reveal your destination. The GPS does not reveal the bump in front of you on the road. So if you just keep your eyes on the GPS, you'll run into another car. And if you only remain focused on the road, then you will take a wrong exit. So you have to have your eyes on both the GPS and the road in front. So therefore, in sadhana bhakti also, you have to have your goal in mind. And the goal is not a destination. You have to get this whole concept of the destination out. The goal is our consciousness. So International Society for, it's not Krishna destination, Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness means you are pleasing to Krishna. Chandrika Vishada Smerai Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshatai Svakarthanam Ivaraja Sattvabhyam Srishtri Palaka. In the Brahma episode, Brahma Vimohan Leela, this verse comes when Brahma sees all different forms of Krishna. So the verse says that when we come in front of the deities, some people say, why do I need to come to the temple? Why do I need to come and have darshan of the deities? when the installed deities, they glance upon the devotee. So we are coming and we are saying, I took darshan. But actually we are coming to be scanned by the deities. So therefore, Sa Aruna Apanga Vikritaihi, the reddish corner of Krishna's eyes, Aruna, Aruna is red, Apanga Vikshitai, the corner of his eyes when he looks upon us, what happens? Desire to serve Krishna develops. Swakarthanam Ibraja, Raja means Rajogun is creation. So desire to serve Krishna arises when Krishna glances upon us. Right? So therefore that desire is what we have to keep going. To please Krishna, to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. You may have had a bad day, you may have had a bad month, you may have had a bad year, you know, maybe a frustrating exchange or whatever, which may kind of compromise your enthusiasm to serve. But when you come in front of the deities and they glance upon you, so the nectar of that glance, it dissolves that poison and you again feel inspired to serve. Right? When Lord Ram is performing the last rites of Jatayu, he has his arms around Jatayu, he has the fire in his hand about to light the funeral pyre. But before that, looking at Lakshman, he says, Rajyam Bhramsho Vane Vaso Sitam Nashto Hato Dvija Idrishriyam Mama Alakshmir Nirdahet Api Pavaka. O Lakshman, people in this world think they are going through misfortune. They are thinking they are going through difficult times. They feel they are going through trauma. Declare to the people of this world what kind of trauma I am going through. Rajyam Bhrashto. I lost my kingdom a day before becoming the king. Vane Vaso. And I had to go to the forest. At least in the forest I had my wife. Sita Nashto. And she was also kidnapped. And then at least I had the association of friends like Jatayu. Hato Dvija. I lost my friends also. I lost my kingdom. I lost my wife. I lost my friends. Itrishiyam. This is the story of my A Lakshmir. Lakshmi means fortune. A Lakshmi means misfortune. See the string of misfortune I am going through. Declare this to the people of this world. Don't be in depression. Don't be in trauma. See someone else who's more devastated than you. And he says, Nirdahet api pavaka. The fire, the heat of misfortune I am going through, the heat of adversity I am going through is so heavy, it's so hot that it can burn fire also. The fire of my misfortune can burn and dissipate fire itself and transform fire into ashes. That is how my life is. Ram is declaring like that. So therefore, there is no one in this world who can say that I'm insured from calamity or adversity. But when we experience a pushback, then we need encouragement, and the Lord's glance provides that. And then, when you again feel difficulty, challenges, and when you're low on enthusiasm, the second thing it is described here, Chandrika Vishada Smeraihi, the pure smile of the Lord. So the glance creates desires, you start serving, you experience pushback, you start thinking, should I continue serving? Then you look at the Lord's smile, that have patience, I am with you. This is all a test for you, so continue patiently. So therefore, the glance of the Lord creates desires, and the smile of the Lord consoles the devotee, encourages the devotee. And therefore, the important thing is not destination. The important thing is continuing the journey with the mood of transforming the consciousness of enjoyment and proprietorship to the consciousness of being servant and being dependent and aligning our will with the Lord's will. That's the goal. Like that.
Yes. Very helpful. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Who's in charge here? Yeah, please. Yes, you can make a comment.
It's quoting from Guru Govinda Swami. He called it the banyan tree. I don't know if you know the analysis, where the tree is basically Radha and Krishna, but all the disciples, all the little supporters and our mutual independence is like a banyan tree. They're all supporting the main tree, which is Radha and Krishna.
Right.
The disciples are mutually dependent on the spiritual master. The spiritual master's mutually depending on the support of the disciples.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Since the mic is closer to our Vishwambar Prabhu.
We have time here. It's a couple more minutes. I never asked this question before in a class, so please don't get the idea that it's a controversial one, since the topic came in the purport. And it's emphasized by Srila Prabhupada in his narrative of the purport, saying that this darshan of the spiritual world can only be possible, and he used the terms, by the help of authentic books. Mm-hmm. Did you see it? It's there in a... Does he use authentic books? Mm. Maybe you can read the paragraph.
Yeah. In this material world also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveniences can only understand about that place from authentic books.
Now, my question is this. I would be very interested in your narrative, you know, because you are a prominent preacher in ISKCON. It's for my own benefit. For 46 years, I've been offering my allegiance to Srila Prabhupada's books, BBT mm-hmm. books,
right.
distributing them, doing seminars on them. Now, I never shared this with anybody, but as a leader in ISKCON, you know, I've been often bombarded by senior devotees that I'm not distributing authentic books, just because they've been subject, you know, to some partial editing. Mm-hmm. Now, I would want to hear, you know, your, you know, today I'm going out on book distribution, and I would want hear, you know, some encouraging words that I'm actually distributing authentic books, because I strongly believe I am. In principle, you know, Srila Prabhupada's books, they can not be contaminated by any, even the editing is done, you know, with a good intention. But those senior devotees who are, you know, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, trying to discourage me to discontinue to distribute those books, you know, it hurts. When Prabhupada says authentic books, does that mean, I would be very much interested in your narrative on this. Mm. I'll pass the floor to you. Am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
So one is, there is a medicine and the second is the impact and the effect of the medicine. So there are two ways of analyzing the medicine. One is getting into the details of analyzing what is within the medicine, the ingredients of the medicine, and unpacking all those details and then making an analysis. The second is from another perspective, look at how the medicine is removing the pain, removing the fever, healing. So these are two different ways of looking at it. It's an elaborate topic. We could spend like a week discussing both the perspectives. But in 2 minutes I will look at the second part. How the medicine is affecting the people. 1965, zero temples, zero devotees, only one person, age of 70, traveling with a suitcase of books. 2026, 1300 temples, millions of books distributed, thousands and thousands of devotees everywhere. Srila Prabhupada went from India, where he was trying to distribute the easy journey to other planets in Jhansi, to his friend. And his friend said, "What will I get by reading this?" Prabhupada said, "You'll go to Golok Vrindavan." His friend said, "Can I come back to Jhansi?" He said, "No, so I don't want the book." So such severe opposition Srila Prabhupada had in India pre-1965. Today, a whole generation, and Prabhupada had only 20 or 40 Indian disciples and 5,000 plus Western disciples. So I'm speaking from the perspective of the next generation devotee from India who has seen not Srila Prabhupada directly but seen Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj who were active in India. And therefore, out of 108 temples, 103 temples were outside India. Only 5 temples were in India. So India as a country in 1977 had only 5 temples and only 20 disciples of Prabhupada. And the founder leaves. In that scenario, how will you measure the impact? What is having the impact? How is the medicine affecting? Today, India has 400 temples. We have at least, you know, 500,000 devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness. We have 10,000 students in colleges chanting 16 rounds. And you go and ask them whether the book is this or that. The impact is how they are getting purified of their habits, taking to the process. And therefore, there is absolutely no doubt from this perspective that the medicine is having its effect. And we are seeing the impact like never before. Right? When there were two gentlemen who were stranded in the highway in Canada, and their car broke down, they asked for a lift, and a van, a Sankirtan van, stopped. 24-year-old Canadian Brahmachari. He picked up these two Indian gentlemen, and they looked in the back side of the van. They said, "What is all this?" And this Brahmachari said, "It's all Bhagavad Gita's. I'm distributing." He offered them prasad, breakfast pack which he had, and they started conversing that, "Hey, Indian youth are not taking to Bhagavad Gita, and you in Canada are distributing Bhagavad Gita." And then he spoke about Prabhupada, ISKCON, this, that. This was 1982. Fast forward, 1996-97, Delhi temple was ready, about to be opened. And the Delhi devotees go and invite the Prime Minister, Atal Bihari Vajpayee, and say, "We want you to come and open the Delhi temple." He says, "1982, I was stranded on the highway. Your Sankirtan man, he came and gave me this prasad and spoke about the Gita. I can see the effect which Prabhupada and the books are having on your people. And therefore, he didn't know who we were. It was Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was in opposition at that time, and Shivaraj Patil, another prominent politician. But he made his impression about ISKCON based on how he saw a common 24-year-old Western Brahmachari, how he is impacted by the Bhagavad Gita. And finally, 1998 is when Atal Bihari Vajpayee ji came and inaugurated the Delhi ISKCON temple. And it was the first time in history of ISKCON in India since 1970. After 27 years, the Prime Minister entered into an ISKCON temple and inaugurated. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada's books. Next question.
Harish Ramu, thank you for the wonderful class. My question was regarding the verse. It says, Bhagwan Shabda Gochara. So Prabhu, if you can just explain how when we hear the Shabdas, how does it transform our heart? What's the purification process? Anything you can share on that regards?
Yeah, so in the first canto, second chapter, there is a whole series. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalo bhadeshche cheta eter anavriddham stitam sattve prasidati. Rajogun comes down, tamogun, and then you come situated in sattvagun. Evam prasanna manaso. And then gradually you experience the joy of mode of goodness and then further like that. So that section from 1.2 point, say 10 to 22, you go through. All the details are there. So I have to leave now. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Gaur Premanandi. Yeah.